One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bark Technologies. With parental control monitoring apps and the new Bark phone, Bark is the best comprehensive parental control tool for families. Listen to today's episode for more details. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me, in her holiest of jeans and checkeredest of shirts.
I'm just like, I have to get rid of these.
is my co-host and lovely wife, again. Melissa, who just caught, had a...
This, right here. My hip.
Hey, cover that. This is not an OnlyFans.
My hip got stuck to a man's chair in Mel's, the coffee shop.
Mel's trying to stay young and has some jeans with some holes. And the worst thing that can happen with a set of holy jeans happened is that it caught
hooked.
A man's chair.
Got
she got hooked.
In the corner. Oh, I'm mortified.
But she's here now, everybody. The whole... It didn't rip any bigger. That would have been the worst case scenario.
That would have been the worst case scenario. Yeah. This was second worst case scenario.
Yeah. So, anyways, thanks for tuning in, everybody, to our little podcast that could hear. We are sitting above Public Square Coffee.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. Cheers.
To us.
That's where you can find a little piece of black denim downstairs.
With my dignity.
If you come to downtown La Mesa, you might have a co-host of a moderately successful podcast catch her jeans on your chair, Public Square.
It's so tight. It's so tight.
The pants?
No. That little space.
That little corridor. Down
yeah.
There. Yeah. Anyways. Guys, we got a lot to talk to you about today. We're going to do a weekend overshare, a trip to Grand Rapids in Milwaukee. And we're going to talk about airplanes. And we're going to talk about long division and math. We're going to talk about field day. We're going to talk about how it's graduation season. We're going to do a bingo dingo of the Spider-Verse. We're going to take some of your emails about what you guys do with cups in your homes in the cupboard as we have a new AirPod drama. And
fantastic.
That is, yeah, cupboard organization
did
drama.
Did you just rename Weekend Recap?
What did I call it?
Weekend Overshare.
Oh, no. I didn't do that on purpose.
Okay. I just thought you casually renamed it.
No, I have. No, no,
I
no.
Like
weekend
it.
Recap. No. That's because you're an overshare.
That's Hi. What I do on my weekend.
Hi, my name's Melissa. Here's my deepest pain. Oh, weather. Yes, I'm sorry. Weather, sports, our children's schedule.
Let me circle back.
Yeah. Let me tell you about how I helped raise my sisters.
Please understand me fully.
I need to feel that you understand me more than A, I can be understood, and B, I understand myself.
Ideally.
And if you don't, I will take it as a rejection. and stew over it for many years. Welcome to our podcast, everybody. Mm-hmm. Some stuff going on. I'm on tour. This is coming out on June 7th, meaning next week. I'm going to be in Chicago, Illinois on the 13th and the 14th, and Rosemont, Illinois on the 15th. June 16th and 17th, the Mic Drop Comedy Club here in San Diego. The 18th, we're going to be in Los Angeles, two shows. The second one sold out, so there's only tickets to the first show there.
Great.
21st, Orlando. 22nd, Tampa. 24th and 25th, Boston. 24th sold out, so only 25th. 28th, Charlotte. 29th, Raleigh. And then when you get into July, I'm just going to do the cities. July, North Charleston, Asheville, Tacoma, Nashville, Atlanta, San Jose, Fresno. That sold out. I think we're going to add another one. That's August, San Jose, Fresno, Sacramento, Omaha, Milwaukee. We just added a second show in Minneapolis, Tulsa, Dallas, San Antonio. And then beyond is Houston, Oklahoma, Austin, Phoenix, Columbus, Cleveland, Cincy, Pittsburgh. Oh, and on sale now, Grand Rapids, next February. That's how far.
All right.
I just asked him to get on sale before I was there this last week, and I was handing out the flyers, and people saw the dates, February 22nd through 24th, and someone goes, this was in the past. It's like, no, there's going to be a next February.
So a long ways out, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you got a plan.
Also, yeah. If you're not familiar, if you ever made it to the end of our podcast and you hear some special shout-outs, that's because those are patrons at our highest level, $25 mm-hmm. and up, mm-hmm. are essential as oils patrons.
That's right.
But you can come at as low as $5 a month and get to do all kinds of fun stuff, all kinds of different levels. You can get some meet and greet, you can get some discounted merch, but everybody gets a Zoom hang, right?
10 and up.
Get, 10 and up. Yep. 10 and up. Mm-hmm. Get the Zoom hang.
Monthly Zoom hang.
And that is coming up.
We have our June Zoom hang on Monday.
June Zoom.
Monday the 26th.
June 26th. There you go. And Melissa will be 40 when we do that one.
No.
Yeah, it's your birthday. You're 23rd.
I'll be 39.
Melissa will be 40. Mm-mm. Melissa will be 40.
No.
And I will remain 34. 6 years younger. It's gone from 6 months younger
forever.
38 forever. Also, if you are a patron on those and you're like, how do I coordinate my meet and greet, and you're on that level, then you got to message me through Patreon. That's the way to do that.
Yeah, I said patron.
It's easy to mix up. Yeah. So, also, this is fun. So, today, June 7th, is the 1 year anniversary of How to Be Married to Melissa.
Woo.
How about that, huh?
Made
published a
year.
Book. Made mm-hmm. it a whole year. Mm-hmm. It is it's fairly well reviewed.
No, it is.
It's crazy. It's crazy to have a book out. And I was looking at the post, and I remember when they reached out to us, Jonathan Merritt, my literary agent, reached out and was like, hey, have you ever thought about publishing a book? And I said, I have one idea. As a matter of fact, he's been trying to get us to do more books. And I'm like, but I had the one idea.
Right.
I could write mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. my wife and my marriage, because that's all I am qualified to write about. This is the one thing that I know. He's like, a marriage book? I was like, no, just a book about our marriage. So that's fun. It's like, I was in a Barnes & Noble this week, and it's like, it was there, and you're like, oh, cool. That's awesome. That feels still feels fun. I think it feels more cool just as an achievement the further you get away from it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. When you give some space.
And yeah. You get a lot of you get a lot of like no's in the industry. I mean, some of us do. The majority of people do. They get a lot of no's.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then so mm-hmm. when you get a bunch of yeses, which a lot of yeses kind of have to happen for a book to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to, like, the agent has to agree to it, and the proposal you sign off on, and then somebody
publisher,
has to buy it, and then they have
editor.
To, and then through the editors, there's just a lot of yeses, and then approve it. It just takes a long time. Books are,
slow.
I mean, that's the preface in Narnia, where he wrote it for his nephews, I think, and he said, like, this was meant for you guys, but children grow faster than books.
Yeah.
You know? And it's true. So anyways, if you haven't checked it out, you can get it at a lot of local bookstores. Do that option first. And if you want it to be more convenient, I respect the heck out of that. You can go to Amazon.com where they only sell books. That's what Amazon does. Huh. They are a book website. That's all they sell.
That's neat.
It's neat. It's a little up and coming thing. And they've got a thing called the Nook that people really like. No, they weren't the Nook. I think it was
actually
Barnes & Noble.
Borders or Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. Borders.
I forgot about Borders.
Yeah. Those.
Rest in peace, Borders.
Yeah. We used to make out in Borders.
Nice. I used to use the bathroom in Borders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't make out in the bathroom because gross.
A lot of people like the audio book as well.
Yeah, that's true.
The Audible.
People be listening to books.
That's right.
So anyways, check that out. Still fun. Anyways. It's a lot of, it's banned in a lot of schools. DeSantis just took it out. I can't believe DeSantis took it out, you know. But this is a hard book to get in Florida, is what I'm saying. It used to be, it was a normal part of the sex ed curriculum, but DeSantis just he took it out. You know, it's the only book to be banned in Florida and Connecticut randomly. I don't know. It's just
press is good press.
All press is good press. All right, let's dive into it, everybody. Let's do a little weekend recap. This weekend I was out with up and coming, you probably haven't heard of her yet. She's on the rise. She's got a bright future, Taylor Tomlinson. It's just, I'm like, every weekend, it's just more and more people recognizing you. And it's pretty cool. It's really going to her head, too. Just the arrogance on this woman. I'm just kidding. We were in Grand Rapids for so long. When we booked this week, I remember, so the weekend before, I was in Des Moines, and then I added like a little one-nighter fundraiser gig out in Portland, and I was like, that'll be fine because the shows in Grand Rapids don't start till Thursday. And
it was Memorial Day
weekend. Actually, originally it was Friday, and then they added a Thursday, and then a second Friday, and then they added a Wednesday. And Grand Rapids isn't as easy to get to as it sounds like it. And it's not easy. It didn't even sound easy to get to, and it's even harder than that. Grand Rapids is a pain to get to. So we went on Tuesday.
Stayed in Iowa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you're there, and we got there Tuesday. We were in Grand Rapids Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. Four nights in Grand Rapids. Felt like a year.
Yeah.
All due respect to Grand Rapids. And just staying in the same hotel for four nights is hard.
For work.
And then we drove to Milwaukee for two nights. And then came home. Grand Rapids is very, Grand Rapids is cute. It's cute. It's a cute little place.
Especially in June?
It's hot.
Is it?
It was pretty hot. Yeah. But they were telling me it had snowed 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
Because spring needs to get, exact. Spring needs to decide who it is. Right?
Yeah. This is an identity crisis.
Spring has an identity crisis every year. Spring is that kid that just like wears a different outfit each week. And you're like, just be who you want to be, man. But they don't know yet. Spring doesn't know who it wants to be yet. And plus, it's bookend.
The worst.
Having
best seasons.
Having summer as your older brother is and winter as your younger brother. I mean, spring has no hope. Those are the two coolest seasons. Being next to them, spring might be the worst season.
Don't come at me that like fall's your favorite.
No. I think what's your rank your seasons? Ranking the seasons? I am fall favorite. I'm not.
I just love fall.
I'm fall.
Fall.
Summer, winter, and I love all three of those. Those are. Grape's second favorite. This is the Regan bit. I ranking my seasons. I'm fall. Gosh, summer gets so hot. No holiday. I mean, get fourth, which is like a mid holiday. I'm gonna go. It's different because we live in a warm climate.
Right. We don't really.
Yeah.
Have
this
seasons.
This is within margins.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's not just hard seasons.
It's what context that you. I think universally. We all agree that spring is the worst season, though.
I actually like spring.
You don't like spring at all. You hate the inconsistent weather. It's the longest stretch. It's the hardest stretch of school.
No, summer is the hardest.
No,
there's no school.
Melissa, May is spring.
I totally agree with you. I agree with what you're saying, but like spring is just like no crazy weather. Like
it's the craziest weather.
No, like winter storms and no scorching summers.
But actually, our
summer weather's in the fall.
That's only because you live in San Diego. Most people live in other, they are glad that winter is ending.
Yes.
But that's one of the hard things about spring is you're just like, it snowed 3 weeks ago in Grand Rapids and it was 96 when we were there.
Yeah. I don't think we're allowed to talk about this living in San Diego.
Yeah,
I think
probably
we have to leave the chat.
Well, I am allowed to because I go somewhere different every weekend. And so I'm going to give you the definitive ranking of the seasons. Are we ready?
Yes.
Summer is the best. I'm not going to be cute and act like summer's not the best. Summer is the number one season.
Okay.
It goes summer, winter, fall, spring. That's it.
Okay.
And if you do anything else, you're trying to be cute. You're trying to be interesting. But it is clearly the best.
See, and I was only going to put spring up top because...
To be interesting?
No, because the cold, the rain and cold of the winter, and then like the just like the dread of the children all not doing anything.
This is so regional, because if you live in the Northwest, I would say winter dead last.
Yes.
The winter is worst season in the Northwest.
Or it's like Arizona in the summer, like Phoenix.
That's
going to be low.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
Andy,
I had the same ranking as you.
Yeah.
As I was thinking about it and growing up and living in California my whole life.
Yeah.
So that's like that's definitely how I rate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you rank it when we lived in the Northwest?
Winter would be very low.
Yeah.
And summer would be first because the summer is beautiful in the Northwest.
Yeah.
Like July, August, September.
And then fall probably.
And then fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we don't. The Northwest doesn't have a spring.
Yeah.
They just have a continued winter.
Ranking, if I were to rank the seasons from when I lived in Seattle, it would be summer, fall, spring, death, winter.
Yeah.
I would die before I go through another winter there.
I truly say it, like, they don't have spring.
Yeah.
Like, Easter is pouring rain.
Always.
And you're like, huh. You
it
know,
literally
like,
rains on
every,
parades in Seattle.
Every baseball game gets canceled. Like, for rain. So they don't get spring.
But that's true.
The summer is so beautiful. It deceives you every year.
Well, this ties into one of the things that I wanted to say. Here's a little pop quiz. I don't know if you guys know this. In the state of Wisconsin, did you know that 7 of the 10 drunkest cities in America are all in the state of Wisconsin? And 15 of the top 20 are in Wisconsin.
Oh my gosh. I've never been.
They have a phrase. Yeah. It's called drink Wisconsinbly is how they say it.
Wisconsinbly?
Drink Wisconsinbly. It's like on merch and stuff. And my theory...
How do the doctors feel about this?
I don't know.
The Wisconsin doctors.
Oh, their pockets are probably stuffed. taking care of that.
Yeah. I would think
loaded.
I would think that they have such their job is so hard it probably leads them to drinking.
Yeah.
My theory on it though is because Wisconsin weather is so extreme
difficult.
It leads them to almost like a wartime behavior. Where in the winter, they're drinking to survive the war.
Yeah.
And then in the summer, they're drinking to celebrate the end of the war. That's my theory.
This is actually how I feel about...
That checks out, right?
It does check out.
This is why Wisconsin is so drunk.
Feast and famine.
Yeah.
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 This is actually how I feel about...
Celebration and sorrow. Either way, cheers. Yeah. The Wisconsin way. They are the friendliest drunks I've ever met, though.
Yeah.
Wisconsin has the friendliest drunks. I've never seen any aggression from them. Like when they drunk and heckle you, it's very positive.
It's
they're
Midwest.
They're like, keep going.
Evolution.
That one missed, but try again next time.
They're nice.
You've got something. I believe in you. It's like a drunk parent that gets very supportive. And you say you had a theory.
Well, no, I just immediately when you said that, I I do. I am very aware that our lifestyle is feast and famine in the sense that I'm solo parenting and then it's right. celebratory
yeah.
when you're in town. And yeah. so you have to like really like, you know, we saw a Monday night movie because mm-hmm. we wanted to see the movie with you.
Yeah.
And that's not a weekend.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. We got home. Gloria's like, I have homework.
And we're like, get in the car, going to a movie.
You're like, it's June. Homework doesn't matter now.
But
the grades are set.
The point being like, you know, I went to like 5 events this weekend and there's mm-hmm. like drinking and desserts and all this.
Yeah.
But then you come home Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Monday through Wednesday this week.
Yeah.
And drinking, desserts.
Yeah.
You know, like the
point being.
And we're
like, we want to have a drink and watch I Think You Should Leave. We got stuff to catch up on.
The point being. That's like Wisconsin.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, but you have to take time to have moderation uh-huh. and feast and famine.
Yeah, no, yeah. That 100% checks out. Not tonight.
A comic is like Wisconsin.
Yeah.
There we go.
Drink Wisconsin-bly. It doesn't flow as well as I want it to, but.
Well, because you haven't drank enough to
mumble
say it.
It.
Yeah,
mumble
drink
it up.
Wisconsin-bly. I think you're right. I think with a slur, Wisconsin-bly comes out way easier.
This sounds like Uncle Butch's Everything in Moderation.
Even
moderation.
Even moderation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Jared Fried had a really funny tweet the other day. Jared Fried's a really funny comic, and he had every Sunday is a choice, 10,000 steps or 10,000 calories.
You're going to go out with a bang?
That's the most accurate depiction of a Sunday. We're like, it's going to be one extreme or the other.
Brunch or hike?
Yeah, exactly.
First day of the week or last day of the week?
I'm going to feel great or awful at work tomorrow, but I'm going to, whatever it is, I'm going to feel strong. It's going to be a strong feeling. Well, speaking of the end, we are almost, I think summer's almost here. Summer break. Yeah. I don't mm-hmm. know. Has solstice happened yet?
No, that's mid-June.
Okay.
Yeah.
I never know because I'm in and out of different time zones. Everyone's like, this hour really messed me up. I'm like, die. Shut up. Get over it. I don't.
Mercury's in retrograde.
Yeah. I'm Kang the Conqueror, baby. I live outside of time. Time doesn't affect me. I'm anywhere, everywhere, all at once. I am. Jeez, a little. Joke. Oh, my gosh. I didn't take on Yahweh's term over here, but.
Well, you think Kang was God?
Yeah, they all kind of, they all I am it at some point, you know.
Yeah.
A couple things of note there. It's the end of third grade, which means it's long division time.
Yeah.
Which means I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, like, what's this calculator doing right here in my pocket? Got it. Thank you. Which leads to my theory. You just don't need to teach kids how to do this manual anymore. I don't think it's important.
Well, I'm not stressed out about it.
Right.
But my mom told me that they introduce these concepts at the end of the year so that when they see them in fourth grade,
yeah.
they like have some, it doesn't freak them out.
Right.
They remember looking at it.
They remember looking at it. This is not really, and I'm not trying to like, at a certain point you do have to evaluate the education system in the modern era and go, what skills do they need here? Like if someone needed mm-hmm. the argument, made the argument, and they're like, hey, you need to teach them this so that they can learn how to critically think and think mathematically.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. great. I'll get on that. But at a certain point, you have to go, these aren't valuable skills in the world anymore. Like knowing how to do math by hand is not a valuable skill anymore. There's no job that requires that.
They took out cursive handwriting. I mean, people still do it, you know. Claire got like a packet sent home, like we're like, what? But yeah. at the start of the year, but like, yeah, cursive is not in public education anymore.
Well, and millennials were kind of the buffer where there was a season where we did need those skills. cursive.
Yeah. Write a check.
Write a check. Yeah.
I gotta stop.
Yeah, there was a scene where you would also have to read it sometimes. Like, there was a season of life where things like cursive and having to do math by hand, like stuff like that, still did exist. But it just doesn't. It doesn't exist anymore. Like, I mean, it's that old meme, but you're not always going to have a calculator in your pocket. You're like, yeah, you are.
Yeah,
100%.
That's fantastic.
You're going to have a calculator in your pocket. You're going to have a compass in your pocket.
Yeah.
You're going to have you don't need to learn how to read a map. It's not important anymore.
Google will read it for you.
Google will read it for you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll say the exception. Like, it depends. Like, Yellowstone doesn't have much service. Like, I just recently heard this, too.
Right.
Like, I had some friends who went there, and they needed printed maps.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they
just can't get... Or what? What would happen? Would they die?
I mean, you could if you can't get around.
Yeah.
If you're not you can't find yourself in the world. It's an existential crisis.
No, I don't...
You know, Dustin, they have, like, wilderness camps.
Yeah.
For kids.
Great. I think this is called Boy Scouts, right? I'm not saying that there isn't a time and a place where that might be kind of like a fun party trick.
Like making origami?
Yeah. I mean, how often do you need to know which way is west?
Yeah.
Do you ever?
I think only if you're coastal. If you're coastal, I think it matters if you know which direction the beach is from like an orientation point of view. I mean, I think about that a lot. If I'm driving somewhere and I don't want to pull out my map,
yeah,
I kind of know where I'm supposed
you
to
look
go.
At the landmarks.
If I know what direction the beach is, which is just west,
right,
then I can orient myself anywhere.
Right.
So, I mean, that's helpful.
So 1% of America needs it. Got it.
I am.
Yeah. And the other in the middle of the country knows based on the sun rising, which I haven't seen that in years.
Except on airplanes.
Once we find out aliens have an EMP and they're going to come down here and wipe out all tech, you know, then we'll have this conversation.
Yeah. Well, not on this podcast, we won't. There's no one to listen to it. I don't know.
I think when you get like your VR goggles, they're going to tell you which direction west is.
Yeah.
You know? So
I think
when Google, you know, issues those out to all of us,
I think
we should be fine.
If I were to try and be like, hey, what do you need an 18-year-old to know? Like math-wise, if we're just going to go math, I'd be like, teach them Excel. Excel.
I made my son, he's selling vintage clothes online, and I made him, he doesn't have to make a profit and loss statement yet, but I made him download a Google Sheets and write out when he gets paid and when it processes and when I pay him, and you know, because he's a little underage for like these, you know, PayPal, and but I'm making him like, you keep track of this.
You gotta track that. Yeah, that's what I mean.
How much this shirt cost you, how much you sold it for.
And that's teaching him software, and that's important. Mm-hmm. Like, but the math in that he learned in second grade.
It's true. I think it's just the critical thinking stuff.
I would just take him straight to a finance app. Forget Excel. If you're trying to teach them small business, I mean, there's literally countless apps for maintaining your finances.
Yeah,
why
Mel.
You didn't start with Excel?
Well, that's Mel the long use division. Any of them. Mel's like, what app do you
have? Long division of apps.
No, I would say just have wealth and have a CPA is what I would say. Just
my
have
business
wealth.
Manager takes care of everything.
Well, Corey over in room 218, he manages all my finances and plot.
You do need to, and this is where a math teacher is probably screaming at me right now.
Yes.
And I'm agreeing with you that they would say, because I don't know anything about educational theory or the development of, they're saying, no, you have to teach them this so they understand the concept of division, of numbers going into other numbers.
Absolutely. So like our son just did geometry, which I think goes hand in hand with chemistry, which goes hand in hand with like philosophy, because it's all like proofs.
Whoa.
And if this is this, then this is this.
Whoa.
And so I think it's just a way of thinking.
Yeah.
Like that is helpful. Mm. So it's all baby steps.
Aaron Weber told me this recently. We were talking about in the terms of comedy, where, because we were saying, I said the best comedy cities are a political colored dot that's the opposite of the state around it. So a red and a blue, or a blue and the red. So like Orange County is gray because it's a red and a blue state.
Yeah.
Or Des Moines is great because it's a blue and a red state. Stuff like that. Like those Chicago, blue and a red state. Like those are the best comedy cities in America because they are familiar with a lot of ideas. There's not a lot of groupthink going on there. Mm-hmm. And it, which is why like some of the other, you know, too conservative or too liberal can be just a little uptight one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And Aaron said the definition of, Socrates said the definition of an educated person is being able to entertain an idea they don't agree with. And I think that that's kind of what we're getting at of like, oh, you can think critically on something. You can understand, you can go, you can put a thing in its context. You can try and understand it, you know.
I actually like,
without agreeing.
Our son just, he's 16 now. And it's amazing how like the top has been blown off like for like ethical conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and we just anything, you're like ethically, like he's looking at that atomic bomb movie that's coming out, Oppenheimer. And we were talking about that. And it was like, oh my gosh, like you're mature enough to actually dialogue and care, you know, and like reason and stuff. So
yeah,
that's like a great new place to be as a parent. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's more than just taking or giving. It's like he's really thinking deeply and critically, which is pretty cool.
Melissa, I am always worried about internet safety.
Yeah, especially with our kids.
Especially for you. I'm worried about what you are looking at, which is why I want to get Bark put on your phone.
Oh, boy.
Your phone, your laptop. Your pager. I need to get Bark on
Bluetooth.
Your pager.
Yeah.
On your Bluetooth.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the little one in your ear.
Apple CarPlay.
As many of you guys know, we are parents. As many of you know, you all know we are parents.
Guys, we're parents.
We're parents. And internet safety is, I don't know if there's a thing that parents think about more anymore.
It is so important and so hard to keep track of.
Yeah. And thankfully, insert Bark Technologies. And then a hero comes along with Bark Technologies to monitor your kid's phone. And there's a new Bark phone, too. I didn't hit that. I missed that one. But before that, I was crushing that.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. Bark Technologies is a friend of the pod, and we love them so much. There's a couple services that we've used with them over the year. The phone, the monitoring of your kid's phone, where they send you alerts and what they're looking at, and they have different levels and things, whatever it may be. It's fantastic. You're not spying on your kid. There's just certain things where Bart goes, hey, you might want to see this, and they show
check
it to
out
you
this tech.
And even better, simplify your life, ladies and gentlemen. Bark has a new phone.
That's right. And it doesn't look like a kid's phone.
No,
it's black.
No.
It's sleek. Phones and technology is improving, and this phone grows with your kid.
Oh.
So maybe your kiddo is, you know, kind of inching into like an Instagram account.
Yeah.
Or wants to be a YouTuber.
Yeah.
And you want to give him some training wheels to get there.
We recently let our kid get on Instagram, and it was because of Bark.
That's right.
We let our kid, because we're less concerned, and because he's 15 and we're done parenting. But so tell him, but we also, you know, we don't choose any sponsor for the pod. We like sponsors that makes sense and we use in our lives, and Bark is one of them. And the new Bark phone is something that we're really excited about, as well as Bark Technology is what we use constantly. And we have some promo codes and we have some details. Hit them, Melissa. Give them those sweet, sweet details.
All right. So you can manage screen time. You can block websites and apps. Mm-hmm. You can monitor text, email, YouTube, and 30 apps and platforms.
And he's excited.
You can get child psychologist advice and tips, even ways to approach kids when they mess up.
So how do they sign up? And how do they save some money, Melissa?
Let me tell you. if you click on the link in the show notes and enter Don't Make Me, all one word, Don't Make Me, you are going to get 7 days of a free trial for the Bark Premium subscription.
And?
As well as 15%
off for the lifetime of your subscription, baby.
That's right.
That Oppenheimer? That Oppenheimer movie, that upcoming Oppenheimer movie is such a nice, the Oppenheimer movie is such a snapshot of what it's like to be a middle-aged male because I saw the preview and I'm like, yes, World War II movie. Yes. And then I saw the runtime of 3 hours. And I'm like, ugh, I'm going to have to pee so much.
No drinks.
You're like, I'm going to have to probably, I don't know if I can see that in the theater because I'm going to miss some key dialogue.
What did I miss?
Yeah, middle-aged male, you're like Christopher Nolan, Cillian Murphy. These are the things that we love.
This one's for you, guys.
3 hours in the same chair, my back. Ooh, I don't know if I can do it. But anyways.
That's why old movies had intermissions.
Yeah, I would love, bring back intermissions at movies, please.
The intermissions in Europe were amazing.
Amazing.
Because everybody was seated during the show.
Yeah, they are used to them.
Yeah.
Bring back intermissions.
And there's they go inside and smoke.
Yeah, but, there's a theater, at least in Vista, I'm not sure elsewhere, that the kids' theater does a break in the middle of a kid's movie, and there's a playground inside the theater.
Wow.
It's like in a rec pool when they get potty break.
Pee breaks, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, movie theaters, you're dying. Idea number one, bring back intermissions. I have to pee. That's the main reason I don't want to go to a movie, actually, is you have to choose. We saw a movie last night, and I know, and I came back.
You came back and said, what did I miss?
Yeah,
and
it was
important.
And you
did miss stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You ever do that when you then watch a movie later, and you're like, oh, I missed this whole scene.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. This is, I don't know if I was thinking about this, because we're at the end of the school year.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, there was just, I get like, it's like put a smile on my face thinking about it. When I was a kid, field day was the day that I was most sure God was real.
Yeah, I think if you're athletic,
mm-hmm.
they're, this concept, they're like, get in this line.
Yeah.
And then take the sponge and run it down there and run back.
Yeah.
And you are running as fast as you possibly can. And you're just so happy that these adults organize these activities for you to do.
Yep. And
you're not sitting in a desk.
Oh, it's pain free.
Fantastic.
Your dog didn't die. You just, your parents were still together.
You
were just running through that field and everything was right in the world. You knew it was so pure. Field day was so pure.
I just want to get back to that feeling.
It was. It field day. That therapy needs to end with feeling like field day. That's when you
know. They hand you a popsicle.
An otter pop. That's what field day. Field day was the best parts of school and none of the bad parts plus otter pops. It was incredible.
Yeah, you're sweating. It's hot.
And you were young.
You're so happy.
You were young.
You were wearing like Keds.
Yeah.
Like just like flat tennis shoes.
Oh my gosh. You weren't dressed well for the part. And now you're an adult.
Jean shorts.
And you don't get to have Otter Pops. You have to have the different flavored LaCroix.
Which LaCroix is like. LaCroix is an Otter Pop.
LaCroix is an adult Otter Pop. You're like, oh.
This one's orange.
I used to feel alive. I used to be carefree in this world.
I used to drink Kool-Aid. Now I drink LaCroix.
I used to see how far I could throw an egg to my friend.
Oh, that was the closer.
Yes.
The closer
egg toss.
Was the egg or water balloon toss.
I used to tie my leg to the leg of a cute girl who I'd had a crush on all year. And we would race around the playground. And we would win.
If you could get a rhythm going.
And love was real. And life was worth living for. Field day. I miss it so
good. So we used to help at field day at our kids' elementary school.
Mm.
And it was K through second grade. And
we had ring toss.
Creature of habit. We had frisbee toss.
Frisbee toss, yeah.
We did the frisbee toss.
I loved it.
For
it
like 10 years.
Yeah.
I
was there for half of them.
You get hit with some frisbees.
Worth it.
But it's fantastic.
Ugh.
A lot of kids don't know how to throw frisbees, which is pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But Frisbee is basic enough, and you and I have enough athletic skill that we explained it pretty fast but.
And the kids are fighting about the lines the whole time.
Right.
The whole time.
Yeah. This is like a.
Next.
This is this is a golf analogy, so you might not get it, but like field day, there's like this old common trope when you golf, like you can play a terrible round and then you get like a birdie on 18 and then you're like, I love golf. I'm going to come back.
You're hooked again.
And that's why they put field day late in the year because the kids are like, I like school.
Yeah.
I remember field day. I had a good experience towards the end there. Mm-hmm. That's why they got to make school easy at the end. Otherwise, the kid just won't come back next year.
The grades are done. The classroom's packed up.
Yeah.
So our daughter is aged out of field day at our elementary school. So instead, on that day, they said, hey, we're having a picnic. It's at 9:30. The pizza's coming at 11:30.
They're just going to go have a day
and
in a field.
You ready? You ready?
Yeah.
And you can come and take your kid home afterwards.
Oh, thank you.
Can I?
Thanks so much. They need to do, you know what they should do? At schools.
Thank you, third grade teachers. Yeah. Cool.
If our kid went to a private school and we like paid tuition.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to ask for this at public school.
I mean, because we don't pay property taxes.
God bless. Yeah. God bless public school teachers. You know, underfunded.
Overworked.
It's tough. This is not a political statement, ladies and gentlemen. There's no left, right. There's only top, bottom, and we're all bottoms. But if our kid went to a private school, I'd be like, adult field day. Everything that you do for the kids, I want at the end too. I want a graduation. I want my kid graduated from second grade. Where's my ceremony?
Your hat.
Where are my little cut up sandwiches?
Do you want a money lay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just give me like a raffle or something. Get us all together. Or there should be like a, or I'm just, listen, if teachers, if you want to be more popular with the parents, you know how there's like classroom currencies? Give some out to the parents.
That'll get the kids there on time.
Yeah, you know. Miss Brown, we had fourth grade, we had tokens, little blue tokens. You could get a token. And I saved up 1 year. I did a whole year without, which goes against everything I stand for.
That's
as an
insane.
Impulsive person.
Yeah. I can't believe you did that.
And I bought the sombrero.
Just for the gag.
I dropped like 300 tokens because I was a good kid. I got a lot of tokens,
you know,
and I was like, I'm getting that sombrero.
You know the dumbest thing I did with one of those?
What?
I bought the umbrella hat.
Yeah, same thing. We bought the ridiculous hat.
And I thought it was so cool, and then nobody thought it was cool. Yeah. I was like, I got it.
Yeah. Oh man, that is funny. I remember in the I actually was pretty good at saving up because my fifth, sixth grade year, I had the same teacher and I knew I was going to. So I rolled over. I didn't spend 1 year at the end of fifth grade. So I had all my fifth grade and sixth grade money going.
Where did all this executive functioning come from?
I'm actually kind of a natural born saver. You know that? Like, I don't spend a lot of money. Like, you know that. I don't know why you're laughing. You spent a.
Oh, stop!
I'm not
it.
Being ironic
that's
right here.
Like, that's just the trope.
Yeah, no, I'm.
But women purchase the stuff.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't mean it like you are the big spender. You're buying the groceries. Neither of us are big spenders, but I like to accumulate funds and.
That's true. You do.
Yeah, and so you'll be like, do you want to see? you're gross. I'm like, no, net only, baby. What's it? What are the accounts at? That's what I want to know. And I just mopped up one year, but I didn't get big. I remember I'd be like, I'm getting that candy. I want that Griffey poster. I want the globe. I bought a globe.
You're like,
yeah.
Can
I just walked out. Yeah, I was like, I need a wheelbarrow.
Amazing.
To get my Ernie. People were kind of mad. Wow. And I actually think Miss Knapp might have cut me off.
Did you rig the system?
You know, I'm sorry.
The classroom currency.
Sorry that I was a savvy fifth and sixth grader. And I'm making it rain in K-Bucks over here.
Oh, we had Eichelbucks.
Eichelbucks.
His last name was Eichelbosch. Yeah.
That's funny. My sister, she had Mr. Engelbertson, something like that. They had Eichelbucks.
Eichelbucks. Yeah. Like whatever bucks.
They really dug deep there on those.
I just did our last name.
Yeah, you got to be careful with our last name. That's it's my most known.
It doesn't work.
It's my most known bit for a reason, because it's delicate. It's a Damien Rice song. It's just that it's delicate.
Mm-hmm.
12-4.
Andy, did you buy any hats?
Did you buy a ridiculous hat?
Well, no. The big thing was if you went to a birthday to a restaurant called Chevy's, in which you would get a sombrero if you went there.
All I had to do was go to Chevy's.
Yeah, all you had to do was have a birthday at a Mexican restaurant.
Unbelievable.
Get yourself a sombrero.
It's probably where she got it.
Yep. Probably. Smart teacher, you know, just recycling.
Yeah, 2 years of Eichelbucks.
K-Bucks. All right. Well, that was fun. Let's do a bingo dingo of Into the Spider-Verse 2.
Yeah.
Have you seen it yet, Andy?
No, not yet.
We saw it last night.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, I'm not saying this is an exaggeration. It's currently one of the highest rated movies of all time.
Oh, that's great.
It's like 95 and 96 on Rotten Tomatoes, like critic and...
It's crazy high.
I'm not going to hype it like that for you guys, because I'm going to be as honest as I can right now. It was heavily hyped for me, and that did affect...
Your viewing.
My viewing of it.
As did the same.
As it did
whatever
yours.
I'm trying to say.
We can talk a little bit about it. I'm going to just kind of, I want to like cleanse the palate a little bit of it for me, and then maybe watch it again when it comes out on streaming, or like maybe even go see it again with Joel when I'm on the road, or maybe the family or something. Because I'm like, and you know, Stephen English hyped it so much, and it's like, that's why we fired him for you, Andy. It's just, he's like that. He's just a deceitful, lying person. Stephen texted me, and he goes,
it's the poster right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephen texted me, he said, it's the best Marvel movie of all time. And maybe the best, and the best animated movie, and maybe the best Marvel movie of all time. Like, perfect, I want to go see it again. And that's because he has AMC stubs. You know, he's got that kind of money, but he's got that escrow money. But it was really, really good. It just got so hyped that I don't know. Have you thought about it more since we saw that?
I think it was, like, beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, they do this thing where they slap a comic book down. For each character, which is so there's just so many like little nods and Easter eggs.
If you love comic books. I read comic books every day, like you feel like you're in a comic book, and that's what's so great about this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like you're falling through a comic book.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
So the experience
is very fun.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
And I do think it's a theater film.
Yeah.
Like at least the first time you should see it in theater because it's so fun and exciting. I did like the soundtrack better in the first one.
Yeah.
I felt like that was a little sad for me because I loved the soundtrack in the first one. It's
Which
fun
there's
for...
probably people who like this
sure.
soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah, that's just a personal preference.
Right.
It's fun for us because like when the first one came out, Joel was a sixth grader.
Right.
Like, right about fifth, sixth grade. And now Miles is his age.
Yeah.
He's a teenager.
Yeah.
And so that's like just fun as a parent and child. I did joke with Andy, like Miles doesn't have siblings and it shows because like in our households, like one person's personal, like
dilemmas, crises,
like it's kind of a three person movie, like with the parents and Miles, and they're at a party and stuff. And in our house, that's like chaos.
Yeah.
Like everyone, what do you need?
Every day is a party in our house. Yeah.
And so they wouldn't be able to focus so much on Miles.
That's funny.
If he was, if he had siblings.
Yeah.
Which I just, as a parent, kind of made me laugh.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if any of the universes, Miles or Peter, has siblings. Because, you know, he's an orphan. Peter usually, you know, he usually doesn't have parents, you know.
That's true.
You know, listen, it's a great movie. I think I was so pleasantly surprised and taken aback by how good the first one was that I was more overwhelmed by the first one. I was totally caught off guard by the first one. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, Spider-Man animated movie. And then you're like, that's the best Spider-Man movie ever. And you know what? The new one might be the best Spider-Man movie ever. It's right there. I will still say this confidently. There are, oh gosh, it's hard to rank Spider-Man movies, but the two animated ones are both in the top five. That's to me undebatable. Mm-hmm. There's Spider-Man 2, which is great. There's the most recent Spider-Man. Was that, I always mix up the homes. Homecoming.
Return to home,
Homecoming was
home.
The first one. Far From Home was the second one.
Mm-hmm. And then
Back Home?
Homeward Bound.
Way Back Home?
The ending of the that one was so all the, good.
That's what I'm saying. The one.
The third home one.
Yeah, the third home.
No Way Home?
No Way Home.
That's it?
No Way Home. That sounds right. Yeah, that is right. Yeah, No Way Home. That movie was, that was such a pleasant movie-going experience because it was such, what it reminded me of was Lego Batman, where you're like, this is a love letter to Spider-Man fans. Mm-hmm. Thank you for hanging in on this, for this franchise for decades, which Spider-Verse is too.
Yeah.
I think it was great. I can't, here's what's really, really good about it. The parenting teen stuff is good. Mm-hmm. Like, whoof. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. Yeah. Like the most heart in the movie to me. And, you know, that's what's great about these Spider-Verse movies is they really are truly like, this is for everybody. Like, your whole family will enjoy this. There's slapstick that the little kids will like.
Yes.
There's teenage. Mm-hmm. And that's why Spider-Man is the best character in the Marvel universe because
he's not an adult yet.
Because he's a teenager.
Yeah.
Because he's, and so your kids like it. And, and Miles, and that's why Miles was such a popular character immediately in the comic books. It was just kind of more modern teen.
You know what's funny too is like our teenage daughter, like they like him.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my gosh, Miles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Miles is
like
so cool.
A heartthrob.
Well, yeah. 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 Miles is cool. Miles is a cool character, you know? So I think it's great. I mean, it's a, what do we do? Five?
5 out of 5.
It's a pure 5 out of 5 dingoes for me.
Yeah.
I would just say, temper expectations. Nothing should be told, this is the best burrito you're ever going to have. No one should be told that before they
and
have
especially
that.
Especially not us. Don't overhype something for us.
Yeah.
That just ruins it for us.
I know.
But I still loved it. 5 out of 5.
It's great. It's great. I think that this is one of those.
Don't overhype it. 5 out of 5.
Well, I think.
Great.
I just didn't overhype it.
So
I think that this is going to be one of those movies that over time I appreciate even more.
I think the second watch, I'm going to like it even more.
I also.
Yeah. I was also really tired in the theater.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a travel day.
Weekend. Yeah.
All right. Let's do a couple emails. This is from Claude.
Hi, Claude.
Subject, the cup system. Hello, Dustin and Melissa. I very much enjoy your podcast and Dustin's comedy specials. Thank you.
Thanks.
Runs in the Family, available on YouTube right now. If I ever aspire to be a clean comedian, I will begin to shower 5 times a day. Hey-o. Perhaps it isn't the correct way to manage cups, but having the cups in the cupboard without the tops installed and then the tops stored in a separate bin or drawer is the most common way. Eventually, the abundance of cups and tops will become overwhelming and you'll spend time trying to match up cups to tops, and the ones that cannot be matched will end up getting thrown out. You will even look at a perfectly good cup that you know never gets used, that has a top, but because it never gets used, it will get thrown out. Shortly after this happens, you will want to drink and go to the cupboard, but all of the drinking glasses and cups will be dirty, and you will wish that you had kept a cup without a top rather than having to wash a drinking glass. It is just the way that things are.
I love how pragmatic Claude is.
Claude is very pragmatic. Yeah. And then he threw another joke in it. Have you ever wondered why blueberries are blue?
No.
It's because they spent too much time with the sour grapes. Heyo. Thanks again for doing the podcast. I look forward to listening to you each week. Thanks, Claude. Appreciate the email, Claude.
Yeah.
All right.
It's just the way it is.
It's just the way it
looking
is.
Looking forward to the house kitchen I walk into where there's going to be like a bar where it's like the top shelf.
Yeah.
And they have all the cups just
arranged
on the kitchen that lost the cat.
All right. One more. And keep sending us these emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. We want to hear about your cup system.
Mm-hmm.
This one is from Blake.
Hi, Blake.
Subject, cup organization, Team Dustin.
Okay.
Here we go, Blake. Hey, Dustin and Melissa and Andy.
Shout out
to Andy. Still a little new.
Yeah.
That's I wanted to chime in and let Dustin know that he is not alone in his ideal cup storage system. How he described it last week in regards to letting the cups dry with the lids slightly off and then putting them away together is exactly how we do it in our house.
Just going around putting lids on.
Yeah. Despite my wife's slight obsession with coffee tumblers, we have never had a lid that did not have a home. Wow. You always know where everything is. Also, before Melissa starts imagining how we can only make this happen on our sprawling amount of countertop space, because you did already disregard this.
Yes.
You should know that we have an incredibly small kitchen.
I will out-small kitchen you.
I don't know. When did some remodeling, we bought one 10-foot piece of butcher block and had to cut over a foot off. The counter is also the permanent home just to a stand mixer, a crock pot, and an espresso machine. So it's not wide open, but we still can make this method work. That's a tight counter. Yeah. So all that to say, Dustin is not crazy, at least not in this context. Give this method a try and see what happens. What's the worst that can happen? Also, completely unrelated, I'm writing this in the middle of the night as we are up trying to get our 2-year-old to stay in her bed because she just started climbing out of her crib. Any bad parenting advice for how to address it? Any help is greatly advice. 2-year-old to stay in their bed. Well, do you want what we did with our oldest kid? Where we bed trained them? Or okay, our youngest kid who's 9.
She was in her bed last night.
Who I still lay next to my 9-year-old until she falls asleep. So I don't know what you want me to tell you.
Just both options are bad?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
My theory on this, on bed training, is on before we get to the cup system. Don't roll your eyes at me.
I will.
I'm just as much a parent as you are.
I will.
This is.
I'm kidding.
It's the same as potty training. They will learn eventually. It's how much of a rush are you in?
Yeah.
You don't need to rush that kid on the potty training or the bed training unless you want to. If you want to.
If you want to die on that hill.
There are methods that people will tell you about sitting there and just you put them back and you walk away and you put it back and you just keep doing it. Emotionless. Don't give them a hug. Throw them in there like a trash. And whatever your thing is. And if you want to do that because that's important to you, then do that. But your kid will stop sleeping with you in a bed eventually, and they will stop because for whatever reason. It's like our 9-year-old doesn't know how to tie her shoes yet. And this summer, she wants to expand her fashion a little bit. She's like, I should learn. And you're like, great. We'll teach you when you want to learn. It's like our kids, same with riding bikes, you know. They'll learn when socially they have the motivation to learn.
It's a
lot easier, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. When Melissa and I started dating, 19, she still peed her pants. But when she wanted to be in an adult relationship, Mel was like, before I get married, I have to be potty trained.
That's because you made me laugh so hard.
Oh, that was really sweet. On our wedding night, I walked into Mel.
Really?
We had just celebrated our young love of being together. A few times.
What are you doing?
And I remember I walked into the bathroom.
Andy's
and you, when you're going to the bathroom, and you're like, no, don't come in. And I'm like, what? After everything we had just done, this is where we draw the line.
What? How did we get? We were talking about cribs.
You know what's a really funny thing,
cups.
Andy, that our kids do right now is...
What?
When I'm on the road, FaceTime Mel and she'll have left the phone. She'll be in the bathroom. She'll have left the phone outside and the kids will slide the FaceTime door under.
You're talking to the kids on FaceTime on my phone. Yeah. I go to the bathroom. Yeah. They slide the FaceTime phone under the door.
It's so funny every time.
I'm going to kill you all.
Anyways, thanks for the email, Blake.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to that episode, everyone. I want to give a special shout-out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up patrons. Thank you guys so much for your support of the podcast.
Absolutely. We've got Avril Griffiths.
Adam Bush.
Allison Nelson.
Bonnie Galindo.
Carrie Teague.
Caroline Crimmins.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Ibling.
Dem Aris Diaz-Stevens.
Dave and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Isaac Teron.
Jason White.
Jennifer Ashley Downs.
Jordan Cowan.
Juliana Smith.
Lori Amos.
Matt and Sam Slosdom.
Nathan and Jennifer Merritt.
Nicole Carraz.
Rachel Wilson.
Rachel Kennedy.
Robert and Nellie Capon.
Stephen Mena.
And Tiffany Payne.
Thank you so much for your support. It means the world to us.
Thank you.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again. After last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you are sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.